From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, a passage often called Faith's Hall of Fame. Today, Dr. Cairns will begin the fifth message in the series. The focus is on Noah, and the message is called The Faith That Stands Secure in the Judgment. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, God's High Places. The text is Psalm 91 and verse 14. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Does the Lord say this to me? Yes, if I have known his name. Blessed be the Lord, I am no stranger to him. I have tried him, and proved him, and known him, and therefore do I trust him. I know his name as a sin-hating God, for by his Spirit's convincing power I have been taught that he will never wink at evil. But I also know him as the sin-pardoning God in Christ Jesus, for he has forgiven me all trespasses. His name is Faithfulness, and I know it, for he has never forsaken me, though my troubles have multiplied upon me. This knowledge is a gift of grace, and the Lord makes it to be the reason why he grants another grace gift, namely, setting on high. This is grace upon grace. Observe that if we climb on high, the position may be dangerous. But if the Lord sets us there, it is safe. He may raise us to great usefulness, to eminent experience, to success in service, to leadership among workers, to a father's place among the little ones. If he does not do this, he may set us on high by near fellowship, clear insight, holy triumph, and gracious anticipation of eternal glory. When God sets us on high, Satan himself cannot pull us down. Oh, that this may be our case all through this day!
Embrace, we find find His grace when we are weak. He is our strength. He is our fortress. We can be sure we are secure within His hand. Stand. And when the storms of life surround me, and when the winds of sorrow blow, I will hold on to the rock of ages, for I know this one thing.
Regular Bible reading is an essential part of the Christian life. In the Holy Scriptures, God has given us everything we need to know for salvation, for spiritual growth, and for the many issues and problems that believers face. However, many Christians do not profit from the Bible as they should because they have no guidance as to how to study it. Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. next chapter in this series of Hebrews chapter 11 is Noah, the man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah lived in a society that was completely corrupt, so much so that God determined to destroy all flesh. So great was Noah's faith that when God told him to build an ark in preparation for the impending flood, Noah did not hesitate. This message is called The Faith That Stands Secure in the Judgment, and in the course of it, we'll see what faith really is. Now, to introduce this message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
This morning, we continue with the messages in Hebrews chapter 11. We come today to the words of verse 7. You may recollect that in this chapter, the apostle is setting out to give, in the opening verses, a description of faith at work, not so much a definition as a description of what faith brings to the heart. And he goes on through the rest of the chapter to give vivid examples of how faith enables God's people to endure, how it enables God's people to overcome, how it leads them into the fullness of the victory that is theirs, and basically, undergirding all those other things, how by faith they have entered into the knowledge of eternal salvation. The first example, of course, is Abel. The next one we have is Enoch. And now the third example of the power of faith in the life of the believer is in verse 7 from the life and experience of Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The history behind this text is the account that we read together this morning in Genesis chapter 6. In an age of almost universal corruption, Noah, we read, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Therein you have the foundation of all that follows in the life of Noah. You may, and not only may, but we could go further and say the carnal heart will always read the sixth chapter of Genesis and try to find the reason for the distinction between Noah and the rest of the world in Noah's personal integrity and Noah's personal character. The Bible traces the difference to the grace of God, that sovereign favor of Almighty God, whereby He made Noah to differ. The very same truth as is given to the Corinthians when Paul asks them, "Who made you to differ?" He tells them a little later, "You were once among the ungodly, by natural propensity, just as wicked and evil as they. You were once among them, but now you are washed, sanctified, justified. Who made you to differ?" The answer is God in His sovereign grace. That is the root cause of the difference between Noah and the rest of the world. In that age of widespread worldwide corruption, we read that God gave Noah a truly terrible message. This man who had found grace in his sight. The message was first, the end of all flesh is come. I have repented of having created these people. I don't want to get sidetracked, but I do need, I suppose, to say a little word about the repentance of the Lord. I've heard preachers try to use that text and others like it to show that God changes his mind. That he can set one purpose and then he can change that purpose. That is a very superficial and a very foolish reading of Scripture. First of all, we have the definitive statements, I am Jehovah, I change not. We have the statement, my purpose shall stand, I will do my will. And a host of other such statements as that. Strangely, as it appears to us, when the Scripture mentions the repentings of God, it is rather to emphasize his unchangeableness rather than the foolish notion that he may change. Now, I know that in our way of talking and thinking, we don't talk of us repenting without changing. But you must remember that when the Scripture speaks of God, we are to judge him by his own statements and not by our knowledge of ourselves. Let me give you a solid biblical exposition of this. Hosea and chapter 11. In verse 8 he says, how shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboim? My heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for or because I am God and not man. Notice the conjunction of ideas. My repentings are kindled because I am God and I am not man. Undergirding that whole idea is this tremendous truth. When the Lord set before the antediluvians and people then in later periods, when he set before them statements of his promise and of his purpose, those statements were always based upon the immutable character of God. And the immutable character of God is that he loves holiness and he hates sin. He blesses righteousness and he judges wickedness. That is the basic statement of the character of God. When he created man, he created him upright. When man totally corrupted his way, then in compliance with the righteous and holy character of God, God wiped out that creation, except for Noah, whose life had been kept by the grace of God. And what appears to us as a turning around is actually an inflexible application of the holiness of God. The change takes place in man, and because of the change in man, there is a difference in treatment. But both the kinds of treatment that God meets out before his, quote, repentance and after it is the expression of one unchangeable, inflexible righteousness and holiness. So the repentings of God do not bespeak a change of God's purpose. They rather bespeak a change of his treatment of men because of changes in them and in their actions. I think that it's good to get that in mind, because there's a lot of heresy can develop once you believe in a mutable God. You have destroyed the entire biblical teaching of God's person and perfection. So he said the end of all flesh has come. That was a terrible message. You imagine in a world that many scholars believe had between 1 and 1.5 billion people. You imagine being the one man who gets a message. The end of all flesh has come. With that terrible message, there came the word of hope and promise. Build an ark, pitch it within and without, and it will be for your safety, for your family's safety, and for the animals that you'll bring into the ark. Now we have read in Genesis 6:22 how Noah did according to all that God commanded him. Obeying the Lord, he built the ark. His family was saved, and humanity through that family. Now that's the narrative. In the New Testament, especially in the words of our text, we have a much deeper insight into Noah, his thoughts, his actions, his motivations, and the results he obtained. We read by faith. Now we don't read of that in Genesis 6. This is the Holy Spirit's own interpretation of Noah and his action. By faith, Noah, having been warned of God of things the like of which had never been seen, the like of which men by nature had no conception, having been warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And then we read, by the which, I take it that it's by the faith rather than by the ark, though I suppose you could infer either. But it's by the faith, mostly, speaking of, he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, this is very much a text for today. The days of Noah, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, parallel the days in which we're living, the last days. As it was in the days of Noah, so also shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. God's message for this day in which we live is very much the same as it was in the days of Noah. It is a message that the end of all flesh is approaching. It's a message of judgment. It's a message that this entire planet is hurtling towards its date with eternal destiny and its eternal doom. It is a message that the righteous and holy God is stirred in anger against the viciousness of his creatures. The end of all flesh is come. Fast approaching. Just a little period of time, however long it may appear to man, just a little period of time before not a flood this time, but fiery wrath and indignation is visited by God upon the people of this earth. That's the message. And with that message, still one ray of gospel light and hope. A greater ark than that which Noah built. The ark of God's provision, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom every object of the grace of God will find eternal rest, perfect safety and security from the judgment of God, being justified, accepted as righteous in the sight of God, by the grace of God through the merits of Christ and received by simple faith alone. Now that's God's message. There is no other. So thus we find that Noah is a very pertinent example for us today, one that we should ponder carefully, of the faith that stands secure in the day of judgment.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.